missions work that Calvary Commission ever had. Today, we have three churches there and an ICOM school. And we have with us today one of our own, one of our graduates, one of our church members, whose name is Nathan Cole. It's your service, brother. Bienvenidos, hermano. He could even speak English.
Well, it's a blessing for us to be here this morning. A lot of things that I could say, but we'll save those long stories, ICOM stories, for another day. It's a blessing for us to be here. When Joe was speaking about faith promise, we'd just like to share. We have a short video. Well, I say it's the long version, but it's only 8 minutes long, so we can narrate it and talk about it as we go. But this church has blessed our family and the work in León in a great way through faith promise. Our first car was bought through faith promise back in, what was that, 2006, I think. I've been on the field for those of you that don't know me. Grew up in Iowa. I'll just share about myself real quick. Grew up in Iowa. Grew up with a very strong family, and my parents are here with us today to hear and listen. Grew up in a strong Christian home, and while I was, you know, we grew up in the family music ministry, and through our travels, we met Calvary Commission and Joe and Charlotte, and God had called me to Calvary Commission to ICOM. So I came down, sold all my things. God called me, long story short, after a mission trip to Russia, God called me to go to Calvary Commission and to be a student in ICOM. Sold all my stuff, came down to ICOM, and graduated in 2004. And through ICOM and the connections that Calvary Commission has all around the world, but God called me to the Latin people and Hispanic culture. And while I was in ICOM, I did serve my practicums in Reynosa, but also in León, Guanajuato. And eventually the Lord called me to go to León, and I received many blessings from León, Guanajuato. For those of you who don't know, my wife, Laura, she's from León, Guanajuato. And she's here. And that in itself is a great testimony and blessing also, that Laura and the children now have all of their paperwork, all of the passports, everything, so we can come and travel. And this year, while we were here, we just got blessed with this just last week or 2 weeks ago since we've been back. We got Social Security cards for Laura and the children. So that's a big thing for us. So that's exciting. God is blessing us. And so in 2005, confirmed the call through Calvary Commission and Joe and the leaders here, and we were sent out and blessed. And so since 2005, I've been in León 6 years, about 6.5 years now. I've been involved with Calvary Commission 9.5 years. So we have some history now with Joe and the church and Calvary Commission, and been there since 2005. In 2006, we had a time of cultural training and language training, things for that first year. Many things happened in our lives while we were there. But in 2006, we were blessed and sent out. We had a Bible study that we had started in our home, and that began. We'll see that here coming up. But that began to grow, and now that has become the church plant of People on the Rock. And we have some video and a little bit of video and some pictures to go ahead and show you this morning. That says, gente en la roca, making strong families, haciendo familias fuertes. That was a few years ago. Alauda says a few kilos ago. No. There's my bunk, guys, up in ICOM dorm. One of my first practicums, that's León behind me. That's León today. León is a city of about 2 million people. and we're about 1% or less than 1% Bible-believing Christian in the city. So there's a great need. Leon is about 12 hours south of the border, about 5 hours north of Mexico City. This year we celebrated our 5 years as a church. For the next pictures, that's our first house that we rented shortly after our wedding. Or before. We started with a Bible study on Wednesday nights and with the youth on Friday nights just in our living room. That's our first VBS that we had. Just invited all the neighbor kids right there in our front porch. The other young lady that's BNA, she's a student in ICOM. She's my sister-in-law. For some of our first baptisms. We started the church off with the baptisms. The other American there is a great friend of ours, Tony and Lois Freeman. That's Tony. They're missionaries for over 40 years, and they lived in Mexico for many years. And they really blessed us the first couple years that we were on the field there. And sometimes things get lonely and get tough sometimes, and they're always there to pray with us and encourage us to continue. That's Tony and Lois, great friends of ours. We were able to see them since we've been back, so that was fun. Then we moved to our other house, which is about 5 minutes away, and we had the church downstairs, and we started the music school downstairs, and we lived upstairs. That's Chayo Rosario. She's now the secretary and the leader of the young ladies group. Then we, in 2009, we moved upstairs to our building. It's on the main boulevard, just about a block away from where we live. Then we also were able to work with four other missionaries, one from Costa Rica, another American missionary, and we do a youth evangelism camps. And where every Christian kid from youth group invites a non-Christian friend, and we have a 3 to 4 day Bible camp with activities and sharing the gospel with them. There's Hannah. Hannah and Rachel came down to help with VBS. There's Eulogio. Over in La Sierra de Hidalgo, in the mountains, we take the youth group on a mission trip every year. These are baptisms from last year. Now we have many men in the church. In 2009, we moved over in faith to our building with about four families. Now God has raised up men and raising up other people. We have about 10 families now part of the church. Last fall, we'll see that in a minute, but last fall, there's Jason when the group came down. A lot of those youth now are still part of the youth group. From that evangelism that we did. There's the Faith Promise chairs that you bought us. And now they're full. And we need more. It's our music school. We offer music classes open to the public as a continuous evangelism outreach to our community. That's last year's mission trip. You can see the youth group has grown. Kids that went on the youth trip, we went with Eulogio. Over in Hidalgo. And we actually saw Dale there when we were there. Dale Simpson was there. Every year we have our evangelism Christmas dinner where we invite the kids and their parents from the music school and people in the community. And the kids always present and we share the gospel.
2011 has been a year of growth and maturing. We have rented the lower part of our building for children ministry and for ICOM. Last fall, we started men's and women's ministries. This year, we have continued them and have seen great things take place. Lauda hosted her first ladies' mini-conference and had 22 ladies and young ladies.
That's in our front patio at our house.
The men and women are growing in the Lord and sharing what they have learned with others. The youth of the church is one of the most active areas in ministry. We continue to be part of the annual youth evangelism camps. This year we were asked to help organize and take a leadership role in the camp. Since last year we have seen tremendous growth in Life Challenge. We now have 4 young people serving and teaching with us in youth ministry.
The youth have have gone out there. It's in a community close to our house, a poor community, and they evangelize about once a week, and they go out to the community and share dramas and things like that as well. Here's some of the ladies from the church this year. I did my first wedding. A young couple got married in the church.
This year we have launched the kids ministry with an emphasis on evangelism and fun ways to learn Bible stories and grow in the faith.
This is our faith kids promise. Joy, we're bringing, that you're helping us rent. We're renting downstairs now.
Strong foundation.
We use it for the children's ministry.
We continue to teach music classes. This year we are open every afternoon from Monday to Saturday. We have created a two-year curriculum for each class, with recitals every 4 months, giving great opportunities to meet and know many families and young people in our community.
We have about 30 students right now enrolled in the school.
Also this year, we have started ICOM with 6 students in the new area we have rented. There is a kitchen, dormitory, bathrooms, and a classroom. We are excited to be a foreign campus and extension of ICOM here in Leon. We have seen much growth in the church since last fall in spiritual maturity and in physical number. We started spiritual growth classes for adults and youth that we call Finding the Rock. They are classes that focus on the fundamental truths, and it leads them all the way through to how to find their place and purpose in the kingdom of God. Over half the people of the church have gone through or are currently part of these discipleship classes.
Great is your love and justice, God.
And as I shared earlier, these are baptisms from this year, but these people being baptized, this husband and wife, Pancho and Gabriela is his wife, she'll be next being baptized, they are fruit of the discipleship ministry and the classes that we started last year. And it's exciting to see that many men now are coming. We started men's group with 2 men. I'm the youngest married man in the church. But God has encouraged me to speak to them as Timothy did, to encourage the older men to follow God. And now we have about 7 to 8 men that are coming to church with their families. So,
People on the Rock is a church full of life and vision. There are many new believers and entire families giving their hearts and lives to Christ. God has raised up a team of leaders that are working with us here to reach our city. Pray for us and the team here in Leon. We are making a strong family.
So there's kind of a visual. I know there's many more things that we could say and we could talk about and a lot more things that are happening. So if you ever have an opportunity to come, First OK students with Joe and Charlotte and Tina and everybody, but we have a place where you can come and serve alongside with us. A lot of things. It's exciting. We thank you again for the faith promise and encourage others if you would like to be part of that faith promise. As you can see, it's making a difference. There's fruit to that. One picture we did not have, and I'm sorry for that, but you guys got us a minivan. So we have that, and it's legalized, and we're using that as well. So you guys have just blessed us a lot. We love you guys. And everybody says, saludos a toda la iglesia, de Tyler. They said, welcome and greet the church from Leon to all the brothers and sisters in Tyler. So you are in our hearts and our prayers, and we thank you so much. Well, I have a message this morning that I feel that the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart and put in my spirit. Maybe part of it might be kind of like preaching to the choir, I guess, because this church is already doing so many things and part of so many things. And I know many of you have spoken into my life. So I said, Lord, what can I speak back to these people that have, you know, trained me and poured into my life and helped raise me up? Sometimes you feel inadequate to, well, what am I going to say, you know? But I believe the Holy Spirit has put this message in my heart, and just as an encouragement in missions and continuing in that. Let us pray this morning. Lord, we just thank you. We just praise you, Lord, for this church. We praise you for each member of this church and all those that attend and support missions, God, and are involved in community ministry here, Lord, and Tyler. Lord, we just thank you for Calvary Commission and Church of Living Hope, God, for what they mean to us as a family and also what they mean to the church in Leon, God. So first of all, Lord, I just thank you for Joe and Charlotte and the leadership staff of Calvary Commission and also Church of Living Hope, God, of this wonderful place, God, that you have raised up here in Tyler to send out and support so many missionaries in so many places and that are doing such a great work here in the local community, God. So I just thank you, first of all, Lord, that you would continue to bless them. Lord, we thank you for this building now that they have and all the blessing that you have blessed here at home, God, and we just thank you for them. Lord, I just pray now that you would give me the adequate words to speak, that your Holy Spirit would speak, Lord, that it would not be myself, but it would be you, Lord, that would bring revelation and through your word, God, and enlighten us by your Holy Spirit, God. Lord, we just thank you, and I just pray for each and every one of us that our hearts and our minds would be open to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning, God. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're taking notes this morning, the message title is Missions is for Every Believer. Missions for Every Believer. And I'm sorry I didn't have a PowerPoint, but I told Joe, I said I have some points with power. So we'll kind of focus on that this morning. Point number one, we'll talk about the Great Commission and how it says on the website, it says the vision's in the name. So we don't have to talk a lot about the Great Commission, Calvary Commission, but let's go to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And as I said, I know it might feel like preaching to the choir, but I believe every time you read the scripture and every time you look into the scripture, God can bring revelation to our hearts with something new. Amen? Okay, we'll go to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is, as all of us, many of us are, so well known, is the Great Commission where the Holy Spirit and Jesus speaks these words to send us out. But I would like to focus on the word nations for a moment. When we read nations, the actual word in the Greek, in the original text is, if I can say it correctly, panta ta ethnia, which means groups of people. So as we can see, if we could take a moment and just kind of imagine we're sitting there and Jesus is speaking to us. Many times in our culture, in the Western culture, United States, you know, Canada, even Mexico area, we have this mentality where we have an idea that missions and ministry are for the elite or for the specially called people. Many times we have this idea that, well, you know, and I come as a blessing, and it's a blessing as it impacted my life, but sometimes we can even have this tendency, well, I didn't study at ICOM, so I can't share my faith, or I can't go to the nations. You know, I need to have my diploma on the wall before I can do those things. Well, I would encourage us this morning that I believe that Jesus, when he taught, when he said the word nations, what the disciples would have understood was go to all types of people, go to all groups of people. And you don't need a degree for that. Amen? You don't need anything special on the wall for that. We have this idea that ministry is for specific people or for special people. Well, Nathan, wow, what they're doing in Mexico, that's awesome, you know? I wish I could do that when I grow up. No, I don't know. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. You know, we have this idea, like, oh, look at what Joe and Charlotte are doing. Man, someday, hopefully I could do something that great, you know, and I wish I could do something that great as well. But what we need to understand is Joe and Charlotte, myself, Jason, you know, the pastoral staff of this church, the people that are involved with Calvary Commission, all they just said was, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll go. And I don't know if Joe would agree with me on this, but, you know, sometimes we don't even know what's going on when we say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. You know, it took us a few years to learn what's going on in Mexico. I didn't know the language. I didn't know. I spoke a little bit, poquito español, pero no mucho. You know, but I didn't have a lot of Spanish at the time. And God just, you know, just gave me the gift to learn the language, gave my wife the gift to have patience while I was learning, and she was my best tutor in Spanish, and I helped her with her English. But God doesn't call the qualified. He gives qualifications to the called. Amen? And so when you say, yes, Lord, I'll go, because he says, go to the nations, go to the people groups, go to those that are around you. It's a process. It takes time, but all it starts with is a willing heart. So if you have a willing heart, you have no idea. You see all these people dancing and worshiping the Lord down in Leon and all this taking place. I didn't think that would ever come from anything that I would do. You know, I didn't say, well, yes, I've been called to the nations. I will go and many people will be saved. Hallelujah. No, I just said, well, here I am, Lord. You know, I graduated ICOM and, you know, I look for blessing from the leadership and I feel my heart in this area. What do you think if I did this? And Joe's like, yeah, do it. You know, we're with you. We're alongside you. We endorse that. And you see the fruit. God is bringing fruit because why? Because my desire ever since I was a young boy was to say, Lord, I want my life to be acknowledging you and the fruit of my life to give you glory. And that's what I believe that God wants from each and every one of us. That's why I believe missions is for every believer. Missions is not for a specific area of the world. Missions is for everyday life and just being willing and saying, yes, Lord, I will go. Going to the nations and going to the people, in the second verse that we read in verse 20, it says, and teaching them to obey everything. That is a big mouthful. That is a lot. You know, so what God has taught us through patience and trial, and we've been hurt. We've been hurt in ministry. We've had sadly, some of those first people that you saw baptized are no longer in the church. Actually, one time, some of those people that we baptized even caused separation in the church. So there's tears and heartache and things, but the second verse, many times we forget, like, I'll go, Lord, I'll go do this. And especially when you're in ICOM, you're dreaming about all the places that you can go and all the things that you can do. And you're like, yeah, I'll do it. Yes, Lord, you know. But then when you're there, and then you're like sick for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and the food gets on you for like 2 months, and you have diarrhea for like 3 months, you know. You're like, man, they didn't teach you this in ICOM, you know? And people are looking at you like, why are you the big gringo walking around our place? What are you doing hugging that Mexican girl, you know, and all this stuff? What is your deal, man? You know, what are you all about? No, but then God wants us to teach them to obey. And that just takes time. That just takes time and love and just, you know, the biggest thing I can say that we're doing in missions, it's just living out the gospel day to day and just being real people. I believe that God has called us to be real Christians in a real way. And the Holy Spirit is alive and God does live and he lives with inside of us. And we can show that every day, whether we go to the store, whether we're teaching a music class or whatever creative idea you may have, you know, mowing lawns. You know, I saw the video, you know, what the Dream Center is doing, whatever you do. Just as long as you do it with purpose in mind. That my purpose through this is to show that the Holy Spirit is alive and he lives inside of me. Amen? And people see that, and that's changing our community. Our community is being changed just through that we say, yes, Lord, that my heart is open, and I want to share that with my community, that God is alive. Amen? Acts 1:8. How can we teach and how can we have these people obey? You know, it's nothing. Well, Nathan must be really influential. No, you know, I can't make these people follow God. You know, we can't make the church in itself grow with our own strength. But how can we? The Holy Spirit teaches us and Jesus teaches us in this verse. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's the only way. By the power of the Holy Spirit, signs and wonders will follow those that believe. And if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that will come into you and be part of your life. If we confess and repent, first of all, that Jesus is Lord, then he can guide us and direct us to things that you will never imagine. many of us are familiar with this when it talks about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, how the disciples would have heard that is locally. Being a light where you are locally. Judea, neighboring locations. Samaria is to a different place, but it's a similar culture, but a little bit different. And to the ends of the earth is where the gospel will be spread all over the earth. And that's the conviction what the Holy Spirit has put in my heart where we live. The church, all those people that you saw, and the church is continually growing. The people that live the farthest away from where we meet, and I don't call it the church, it's un local. The church is the people, you know. We just have the little space that we rent where we can have the people come to. But the people that live the farthest away is about, I would say about 10 blocks. Wouldn't you say? About 10 blocks away is the farthest people live. The Holy Spirit has put that so deep in my heart that if we can affect Jerusalem, where we live locally, our community, we have now influence within about five colonias. A colonia has anywhere between 3 to maybe 5,000 people would live in a colonia. And our main boulevard is right there. So we have four colonias colonies, communities, where we have influence with, and people from the church live in that area. And everybody knows us. You know, we did in the early years, wasn't that long ago, but, you know, back when we started, you know, knocking on doors and handing out Bible tracts and things like that. People are tired of that in central Mexico. That really doesn't work anymore. So we just began to pray, Laud and I, and we just said, Lord, Holy Spirit, give us an idea, or how can this community know that we're not just some, you know, religious people that want to convert them to an idea? You know, and that, sadly, that's growing a lot in Leon every Saturday. You know, there's the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons are out and about. And sadly, statistically, the Mormon Church, the Jehovah's Witness Church, and the Christian Church, how I said the Bible-believing Christian Church in Leon is about the same population. So it's all growing at kind of the same rate. But people, we just see people, I think it's kind of the same everywhere. People are tired of religious ideas. People want to see that God is alive and He has an answer for them right now. That He has a word for them in this moment. Not because Grandpa did it, but because the Holy Spirit is alive to me right now. And He's a live God. And He's a God that's actively moving in our lives. So our desires just affect Jerusalem, where we live, that they see that. We go to the store and they call me El Güero. Ahí está el Güero. That means some, you know, light skin. Blondish colored hair, blue eyes, you know, ahí viene el güero. I think I've told Laura, I said, it's kind of funny because the guy that used to have the tacos on the corner, it was Tacos El Güero, and he would call me El Güero. So I thought, well, I must be really güero then, because if El Güero calls me güero, well, that's, you know, I must be really the white guy. Anyway. But people know us through the music school. I mean, it's even common. We'll be walking down the street. My brother-in-law, Hector, is his name. And it's Laura's brother. He's going to be 19 pretty soon. God has really raised him up. I've been discipling him. And he's just a phenomenal guitarist. Not quite as good as Kelly, but he's getting there. No, but he's a phenomenal guitarist. And we have about 30 students in the music school. He has about 18 of those students in his guitar classes. And we'll go walking through the street sometimes like, hola maestro, ¿cómo estás maestro? They'll see us like, hey teacher, how are you doing? And people know us, and it's so common and so open, in our community, the music school, La Escuela de Música San Pedro is what we call it, because we're on Boulevard San Pedro. Oh, then I had, that's just a quick side note. I had some other missionary friends say, hey, that was a really good idea that you called it San Pedro. You know, that you can really relate with the Catholic people and stuff. And, you know, that's really great that you did that. And I was just like, oh, yeah. I said, well, I just call it that because that's the name of our boulevard. But, you know, I guess it was more spiritual than I thought. But, yeah, that's really cool how that you did that. And I was okay, I didn't really plan that, but anyway. You know, but people know us through that community outreach. And I would say we have about between 12 to 20 youth that come at different times. And all of them, except about two of those youth, on Friday nights, we have life challenges called Vida Desafío, have come through the music school. You know, so some of those, even some of the baptisms that you saw were kids that come through the music school. They make a friendship evangelism. They have a relationship, and then they are presented the gospel. and then they get saved and become part of the church. Many of the youth that are on the worship team now on Sunday mornings have come through the music school, and we've just raised up the next generation for Him. Amen? So that's the Great Commission. I get talking too much, so I'll have to focus. That's the Great Commission. But I believe God has carried and wants us to carry out that commission. I believe that there's a certain way that we should do that. How do we carry out the commission that He has commanded us to do? Many of us have heard the Golden Rule, which says, do unto others what you would have them do to you. And that's a really good rule. You know, it's biblical. It's found in Luke 6, verse 31. And number two, it's a great principle that even other religions and other people, they have applied that into their lives. That if you're nice to somebody, you know, what goes around comes around, you know, they'll be nice to you. But I would like to challenge us a little bit this morning on carrying out that commission. I believe that the Great Commission is a little bit more than just being nice to someone. You know, it's good to be nice to people. I'm not, you know, speaking against that. But I believe being nice to someone and being kind should just be the natural way that a Christian lives. Shouldn't be something extra that, you know, well, I was nice to you, brother. You know, especially up there in the dorm, they got their stuff on your pillow and, you know, or whatever. Well, that just happened when I was there, I guess. People invade your space. You know, well, I'll be nice to them. You know, I'll smile at the guy at the store, you know, or I'll smile to the person on the street. You know, I did my duty. You know, it's kind of how our Western mentality, we can fall into that. And I think that's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing because we have come to believe within ourselves, within our own righteousness, if you would say, that we are fulfilling the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. Because I smiled at him and I was nice. I didn't cut him off in traffic. You know, I was kind. Well, but if we study the Great Commission of what Jesus said, He didn't say, go therefore to all the nations and be kind to others. He didn't say, be a nice person. Like I said, maybe that's going to be a challenge this morning. But what I believe is that we are to fulfill that Great Commission. How? By speaking truth. Speaking truth and life in love. Fulfilling that Great Commission by, first of all, giving myself to truth. I believe if I can give myself to truth, which is the scripture, what my leadership says, what those that are over me, the spiritual authority that is influencing my life, if I can say yes to that, and I can say yes to submitting myself to that, God will give me bigger things because I understand now what the commission, you can't do it alone, it's a mission that you need to do it with someone else, that commission can be fulfilled in such a way. We need to understand, though, that the Great Commission is something more than a good principle. It's a commandment. We don't have a choice, really. You know, people say, well, you know, I believe God has, you know, just called me to just bless these people, and I'm going to just pray for them and be nice to them and praise God. You know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not getting light on being kind or prayer. It's very important prayer. But God has called us to step out a little bit more. That's why I think it's awesome, you know, the Dream Center, what's taking them on right here in Tyler, right here in this area, you know, because like Jason said on that video, he said, taking the church to the streets, showing them what God is really about, what the gospel is really about. You know what? You know, I grew up, my mom always said, you might be the only Bible that someone ever reads. You know, you need to take that word that lives within you and show it to others. That's what the Great Commission is all about. And is it going to be easy? No. Jesus said, when trials come, when temptation comes, when storms come. He didn't say, well, maybe if, you know, you have a bad day, I'll be there. You just call on me. No, he said, when it comes, so be prepared for it. You know, and I'll just kind of share with you how I share with our church. I said, so if we get surprised when that moment comes, you know, it's really our fault. It's a lack of our, or I guess it's a lack of our wisdom, and it comes out of our own ignorance. because Jesus says when it comes. So we need to be prepared. To be in the Great Commission and to carry out that Great Commission, we must be people that are prepared at all times, ready to give a testimony of the glory of God that lives with inside of you. That is what the Great Commission is all about. Many of the world's great religions have good principles. So what are we doing as Christians, which means Christ-like, what are we doing as Christians, as people of God, as a church of God? You know, I know there's many ministries, but what are you doing to be a part of those things? What are we doing as believers? Are we just do we just have good principles to live by? You know, I guess maybe my point of view as culture point of view has changed maybe a little bit, but I've been out of the country now for 6 years, and you learn a lot about your own country when you live somewhere else. You know, and one thing that Louder and I, we've been talking on this whole trip, that since we come to Texas and then we went up to Iowa, we're originally from Iowa, and family and friends and churches that support us from Iowa. But one thing that we see in common, and we've been praying praying for the churches and praying for all the places that we go. But one thing that we kind of see that's in common from all the places that we've gone from Texas all the way up to Iowa and back is just, I might be stepping on some toes, but just an apathetic spirit. Apathy. Apathy is abundant and taking control of our culture, of our Christian culture, I should say, of the church, of what God really wants to do. Because we have become comfortable to go to church. Especially, down here in Texas, we're in the Bible Belt, you see it a lot more. Up in Iowa, there's not even a lot of churches that have a lot of life, It's kind of more dry, but you come down here and it's rich of the gospel. There's churches all over the place, but we just kind of see it at different places that we've gone and we've shared, and you just see this kind of spiritual covering around this kind of ambient, aurora or something of just apathy of people that are just comfortable going to church. And I just challenge our church in León, and that's one thing that's excited. Those people that you see, men, when they get baptized, that's because they're saying no to their family. And many times, some of those people that have been baptized in our church, they're rejected for a time from their family. Because you are stepping out now and you're becoming different. No, you can't do that. So they're rejected. Lauda's family, when her mom and Lauda and her brothers and sisters got saved, they were rejected for over a year from their family. Aunts and uncles, people won't have anything to do with you. So that's kind of a form of persecution where we live. And I think, now this is, maybe it's my opinion, but I think we have a lack of that in the States. We need to come to a point where we can see that the gospel is real and the Holy Spirit is alive. It's not just, the good feeling. I got goosebumps in that worship song and, there's great worship this morning. But we shouldn't live for that. We shouldn't live to just come and feel good on Sunday or on Wednesday or on, a night of evening prayer or whatever. Oh, man, did you just feel the Holy Spirit was there? Oh, thank you, God. And then we go home and, sit in front of the TV and, hey, you got another root beer or something? And now we're going to go to CC's and go to buffet afterwards, and there's people going to hell right there at CC's. Whatever we do, and everybody's going, I'm not going to CC's after service today. No. We're not going to go out to eat. No, it's not about that. Just we need to be, I believe the Holy Spirit, with this message, if I can communicate it well enough, is what I believe is the Holy Spirit wants us to have our spiritual eyes open at all times. That missions is for everyone, and for every believer, that you can make a difference right where you're at. Right now, we can make a difference. The book of James, I like the message, how he says it in the message. If you go to the book of James, it comes from James chapter 2, 14 through 17. But I'll read from the message because I kind of like how he says it here. He says, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come up on an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? outrageous nonsense. If we just believe it in our heart, but we never show it to anyone else, what good is it really? That our life can be a heritage for others. We can leave a legacy. You think, well, maybe I'm never going to go to Mexico, Nathan. Well, maybe I'm never going to, you know, work full-time on staff out at Calvary Commission. Or maybe I won't be an elder in the church. Or, you know, whatever. You know what? I don't think that is really the point of Paul's message or Christ's message.
You know, do all these things so that you can be an apostle, a prophet, you know, an elder in the church. That's why you live out your Christianity.
No. If you hear the heartbeat of the scripture and what Jesus talks about and what all of Paul's teaching in the books that he writes is that Paul tries so many times to communicate to us, just live it, just do it, just obey it. Have your ears open, your spiritual ears open, your spiritual eyes open so that you can go and leave a legacy, make disciples, teaching them to obey what I have commanded you. Taking time out of your day to sit down with somebody and say, you know what, bro? You know, yeah, I know you're going through this hard time or I'm having this hard time. Can you pray for me in this? And, you know, he says, oh, yeah, brother, I'll pray for you. You know, God, just touch him, heal him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Done. But what about the next step? Teaching them, hey, what if we had a morning Bible study together? Just me and you, man. You know, what if you and I could just get together and encourage one another this week? Because we're going through a hard time in school or at the job or, you know, calling up somebody and maybe a lady say, you know what, I'm a homemaker mom and we're having some hard times financially or things like this. And somebody else is also a homemaker mom and says, you know, we are too. Let's get together and just intercede for our country. Let's intercede for the city. Let's pray together. You know, just because we have, you know, Wednesday night prayers or a prayer service doesn't mean that you can't pray with people on your time. You know, or can't share the gospel or do a Bible study on your time. We're just so focused on and accustomed to just go to church. Well, I went to prayer meeting. You know, I went to worship service. You know, but there's so much more than that. So much more than that. I remember one of my pastors that has spoken into my life a great deal. I was working with worship and stuff like that, and after the youth service, it was a young adult service, he comes up to me, and we were talking about stuff, and it was before I went to Mexico, and I was just praying about, you know, and we were loud and I recording, and I was just talking with him about different things, and he just says to me, so what are you doing, Nathan? He just kind of caught me off guard. I was just, well, what do you mean? Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to be a missionary, and I'm doing, but what are you doing? And I just got done leading worship for, you know, young adults group, and I'm just like, okay, I'm not catching you, dude. I'm like, I led worship. You know, I'm leading worship. I come, you know, to young adults group, and I'm here serving in the church. Yeah, that's ministry. That's just what we're doing here. But what are you doing? That was one of the first times in my whole Christian, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a Christian walk. It was one of the first times somebody challenged me for me. Nathan, what are you doing? And he says to me, he's like, well, don't you have like a Bible study or something with somebody or a friend from work or something? And I was just like, no. He's like, oh, well, I thought you would have had something like that. Just walked, and then he just walks off, and I'm just like, man, I'm such a pagan. Oh, God, save me, you know? Just like, no. But it brought me to the realities, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Just going to church and just, you know, fellowshipping with the brothers? Yeah. You know? But are you doing what the gospel says? Are you living it out? Are we being a missionary in my nation, in my group of people that I have influence with? You know, there's a lot of people that you know that Joe and Charlotte don't know. There's a lot of people that you know that Pastor Jason doesn't know, or the elders of the church. They don't know these people. People that I don't know. You might be the only person that can reach that person. You might be the only person that, you know, when I was in high school, we had prayer at our lockers. We had locker prayer. It started with just a couple of us. You might be the only person in a public school or wherever you are or at college and say, you know, let's just pray for our school. And people will see that. Yeah, people will walk by and say, hey, look at these Christian. You know, they'll say stuff. Yeah. But what are you doing to be a light in your nation where you have influence. Fruit of the Great Commission in our daily lives, and we're wrapping it up. When we become doers of the word, others will see a true God that lives within us, not just nice things or friendly things that we say or a friendly, kind person. When we live his word day to day, take time to love and share him in all aspects of him with others, that is when we really make disciples. Making disciples, as I've said, takes time, takes effort, love, and patience. If we truly love, we will share the gospel with those who don't know him. Did you hear that part? If you really love somebody, you're not just going to be nice to them. You're going to share and invite that truth to their life. You're going to invite them to take part of that truth that you have encountered. That's where the Great Commission becomes alive and becomes real. We invite them to come into that, and we share that revelation with them so that they can find their purpose in Christ's kingdom and become part of the family of God. Making disciples isn't about growing a religion. It's about sharing the salvation message with others and giving God the glory in and with our lives. When we do this, we will have consistent, stable fruit in our lives, homes, and churches. Only when we do that, when we're constantly there, consistently stable, and you're going to cry, you're going to have hard times. It's not going to be fun all the time. You know, Loud and I were talking, like, she said, are you excited to go back to Leon? I said, yeah, I really am. But then she says, are you excited for everything else? I said, well, no, not really yet. Everything else being, we're pastors right now. We're missionary pastors, you know, and oh, we had this problem, or while you're gone, this happened, and, you know, pastor, pray for us about this and all that. Like, well, I'm not real excited about all that stuff right now, but they're in my heart, and I love them, and I'm excited to see them, you know, but that's why it takes time. It takes effort. Our vision, as we showed here, people on the rock, and I believe it can be our vision for even ourselves as Christians, is that our desire is that we can, to be people on the rock, which is Christ and his word, being a people that show true faith with action towards God, towards other people, and towards life. Our vision verse as a church is Matthew 7:24-25. It says, whosoever, I love that first word, I have it underlined, and even on our Lona, on our announcement at church, it's underlined, it says, whosoever, is not the special elite people, you know, it's whoever will hear these words of mine, it says, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Do any of you want to be wise this morning? God, give me wisdom. What is the key to having wisdom? Well, we understand it. Yes, it's the fear of the Lord. But what is second to that? Doing and obeying his word. He will give us wisdom when we hear them, hear his words, and do them. He will consider us to be wise when we do that. There'll be a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. Does that sound fun? Somebody, all that stuff beating on you? You know, is it beating on your house? That's our life, our marriage, our church, our family, my house. Is all that beating on your house? And it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Amen? That's our heart. That's what's going on in Leon. That's what I believe it can happen in each of our lives. That when all these things come and you say, oh, pray for me, brother, because I had this trial and I had this problem. I encourage our people, yes, it's great to have intercession prayer and it's good to get with other people as we talked about. But if I'm constantly doing that and constantly asking, oh, I need you to pray for me. My question, I'm kind of maybe a negative thinker when I read the scripture sometimes, but I think if he said, if you're going to be wise and, you know, their house isn't going to fall when this stuff comes against you, I think, how strong is that person's house really? Oh, we have to have a special meeting because all this is happening in my life. Sometimes I believe that's good. But on a day-to-day basis, if that's continually in my heart, in my life taking place, how strong really is your house? God calls us to be faithful, consistent, strong on a daily basis. We are called to make disciples, teaching them, training them, spend time with others wherever we live, guiding them in the ways of the Lord and allowing them to experience the love of God for themselves. I know I'm going over time, but side note, many times we keep that for ourselves. Oh, worship was so awesome. The presence of God was there. Do you know that there's a high population of people that have never experienced that? And if you don't share it, you're being selfish and you're keeping it to yourself. God wants us to share that so other people can experience that as well. So that they will know that He is true, not just a religious idea. Not just an idea or a God far away. That same presence that we feel here this morning, that presence that in the workplace, wherever we are, that we're inviting others to come in to His presence, to take part of that. We must take time to show them that Christ desires a relationship with us, not just deeds or words. And I heard this spoken once here at this church, and I've shared it at every church that we've been in. It says, a missionary is not one who crosses the sea, but one who sees the cross, and I added to it, and shares its message of salvation with those around them. You want to be a missionary? Preach the gospel where you are every day. When I was in ICOM, we had a big poster. It said this. It said, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. St. Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel at all times. Just be real. Be real. We don't have some, you know, speaking in tongues and all these spiritual gifts that we believe in. We like hype that up so much in our Christian culture. It's just a real thing that takes place. The Holy Spirit isn't some fanatic, crazy person that goes about, you know, doing crazy stuff. He does real things right now. And for time's sake, I won't share, but all the miracles that are taking place. We've seen healings. A young lady was healed by diabetes type 1 just before we came. A young little girl, she was healed by burns on her legs in a miraculous way right there on the street corner. Just being real where you are. That's what I believe God is calling us, and I believe that's what the Spirit is speaking to the church this morning. Are you real? Is your house on the rock? Is it solid? Yeah, man, you know, I got my house there. Well, maybe we should ask those around you how you react in a crisis if your house really is strong. But instead of doing that, let's ask God, that you can ask the Holy Spirit right now today, that you could just make that real in your spirit, in your heart, and just say, how is my house? Is it strong? Is it built? Am I really living this out? Am I a wise man? Am I a wise woman? Am I really hearing that and doing it? And so I guess I would just challenge us this morning and leave you with that. That He has a purpose and a plan for you, for your individual life. And He, as long as we are willing and we have the openness to open our heart and our spirit to Him, He's there. He's faithful. He says, and I will be with you. The last part of the Great Commission, he says, and I will be with you even to the end of the age. But interestingly, He says that at the end. He doesn't say, I'll be with you. Go and make disciples. No, He says, go and make disciples and I'll be with you. So if you want Jesus to be closer to you, maybe you should make more disciples. Amen. Maybe you should be doing the things and be a doer of the word and not just a listener of the word. I just want Jesus to be closer to me. I don't know where He is. I don't sense His presence as much. Are you listening and doing so He can be with you then? So I'll just leave you with that. Let us pray.